Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father, from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. By nature, I'm a prepper. I like to be prepared. I don't think I'm crazy. I'm certainly not consumed by being prepared like some people are. But it is sort of a running joke in my family. And I guess I'm okay with that. My argument is there's nothing wrong with giving thought to what you'd do if you were without power for a week or even longer. Nothing wrong with being prepared to care for your family in a time of crisis. Hopefully many more people learned that lesson during this last year filled with natural disasters. But a recent report by CNN detailed the rapidly increasing number of the mega rich who are not just being preppers, but who are buying bunkers for themselves and for their families. And many of these bunkers are not just cement encased holes in the ground, but underground mansions in which they can survive for many years. There's being prepared. And then there's just being paranoid. Our grandparents probably all canned and stored food. It was a simple way of life. What you grew in the summer, you had to prepare and save so you could eat in the winter. I suppose there's always been those who have sought out caves and strong fortresses in which to dwell also. But something is different today, isn't it? There's so much distress and perplexity in our world, so much anger and fear. Our world seems to just be careening towards or from one crisis toward the next, almost entirely out of control. And everyone wants to blame someone else. Unlike our grandparents who had much harder lives, but still lives filled with laughter and joy, we have lives of great luxury, but in the midst of a world filled with great despair, and there's very little laughter. Suicide rates in first world countries have never been higher than they are now. Drug addiction and overdoses continue to increase at an alarming rate, especially among teens and young adults. New and ever more violent sicknesses are diagnosed and come upon younger and younger people every single day. Some blame overpopulation. They advocate abortion and euthanasia as the fix. Others blame capitalism and all its trappings, and they see socialism as the only way forward. Many think all the fault lies with the Republicans, or at least Donald Trump. Others with the Democrats and the Clinton family. Most, it seems, are just fed up with the politicians. But you probably already know that none of these things, none of these groups, none of these individual people are the real cause of our problems. While they are easy and often to blame, they aren't the source of this world's great despair either. Contrary to what the evolutionists have taught and continue to teach you and your children, things in this world are not improving. They are not getting better. They're only and always getting worse. No mutation has ever led to anything good, only to things that are less pure, more sick, more corrupt. So it is with our sin and with the departure from the Word of God. Each generation is worse than the one before it. Do you not know that all earthly things are passing away, and that no amount of legislation, no politician or scientist or doctor can ever change that? Do you not believe Jesus, that the end is coming soon? Who can honestly believe that an underground bunker will protect them from the great and glorious day of the Lord? All of those who have not learned to love Christ, who do not trust in His word, will always dread the things of His appearing. But this text before us today, given during this penitential season of Advent, is not a text laid out for unbelievers. It is a call to repentance and faith to you as Christians. Those things that put the world on edge and fill them with fear are to be for you, the text says, signs to straighten up and raise your heads because your redemption is drawing near. As you can interpret the seasons, as you notice that the sun is lower on the horizon and the days are shorter, that it's colder, you know that winter is near. When the trees throw out their leaves, you know that the spring is on its way. Jesus says, so too can you interpret the signs of the end of the age. Certainly, we don't rejoice when others suffer. We don't wish evil to come upon anyone. Rather, our desire is like our Lord's desire, that all people would hear his word and come to the knowledge of the truth before it's too late. But at the same time, we know that all these storms and disasters are simply ushering in the Lord's return in glory. He says it will come on them suddenly, those who do not believe. But you will not be surprised at all. As John the Baptizer prepared the way through the wilderness for the first advent of our Lord, so now the Lord's creation also testifies and cries out that the Lord is coming again soon. For those who think that this season of Advent is simply preparation for Christmas, this text that is set before us seems woefully out of place. The prayer of the church, the collect that you heard, would also be wrong. It says, stir up our hearts, O Lord, to make ready the way of your only begotten Son. If this season were about being rightly prepared for Christmas, then the prayer wouldn't make any sense at all. It would be very much out of place, for Christmas is a celebration of a past event, not a future one. So who prays for what is already past to happen? We pray for the here and now. We pray for what is yet to come, not what is past. The season of Advent is not preparation for Christmas, or not alone preparation for Christmas. The season of Advent is preparation for our Lord's final advent, for his return in glory, for the end of all things. And so now the prayer makes sense. We pray, stir up our hearts, O Lord, by his continued coming to us in his word and sacraments, so that we can live today and so that we can be ready for that day. Again, this text, the admonition, the encouragement to watch lest your hearts be weighed down, to stay awake lest you be sleeping when he returns, to pray for strength so that you can stand in that day. These things are spoken for you, for believers in Christ who await his return, for those whose first importance is not preservation of this life, but reconciliation with God by the forgiveness of sins and being ready for the life that is to come with him in eternity. Finally, all of the trappings of this life, everything that you can see and taste and touch and feel, all of these things are unimportant. They will pass away. But Christ's spoken and visible words will not pass away. They are true for the generation of sinners in Jesus' day. They are true for the generation of sinners today. His words are not hidden. They are well attested. They're available to all. His word and sacraments are our perfect calm in the midst of this great storm. His word and sacraments are our great confidence in all chaos. His word and sacraments are our hope in every time of need. They are the very means by which God himself prepares us for his return. His word acknowledges the worst things in this life. He tells us of the destruction that will come upon those who do not believe, and yet the same word assures us that the best is yet to come for those who believe in him. He promises that all things work together for good for those who love him, who are called according to his purpose. His sacraments are the very power of God for our forgiveness, life, and salvation. Yes, the day is coming, and it is coming soon, when the earth will pass away, when the very powers of the heavens will be shaken. But your Lord and his words can never be shaken. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. You should be prepared for a rainy day. At least that's my opinion. You should be able to change a flat tire if you have one on the road. You should be able to handle a short power outage. You should have blankets and food ready for a heavy winter storm. And if those things are important, how much more important is it to have God's eternal word, his blessed sacraments, his forgiveness? How much more important to be able to give an answer for the hope that is in you, to share in his joy, and to be prepared for his final return in glory. No bunker can save you from that day. What good would it be to preserve your life from all of the dangers of this world and then to die eternally because there's no faith in Christ? God has worked that faith in you. He continues to come to you in his word and sacraments, so you are ready for that day. Come then, O Lord Jesus, from our sins release us. Keep our hearts believing that we, grace receiving, ever may confess you till in heaven we bless you. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, guards and keeps your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus, to life everlasting. Amen.
Hi, this is Pastor Ryan Wendt. You've just listened to a sermon preached at Christ the King Lutheran Church in Billings, Montana. I hope that you heard God's law that reveals your sin, and his precious gospel, the good news of salvation in Jesus Christ, that your sins are forgiven for his sake. These sermons are posted not as a replacement for gathering together with other believers around Christ's word and sacraments, but for our members who are away at school, at work in foreign countries, or who for some other reason are not able to be with us regularly. If you've been listening and do not have a church home, please consider contacting us through our website, and I will be happy to help you find a faithful congregation and pastor near where you live. Or if you're listening to us locally, why don't we get together for a few minutes and talk more about what we believe? If you'd like to support the work the Lord is doing through his word in this congregation and in our community, please get in touch with me through our website. The Lord's richest blessings to you this week and always in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.